This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we're getting some playback problems on our intro. I think we need to reload a different file or something.
Let's do it, Hal.
Okay. Well, we want to welcome you for this week's episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And we are continuing our series on homeschooling. If you're considering or just planning to get started for the next school year. And, gee, I used the magic word, didn't I? Planning.
Planning. You know, planning is something I really resisted because I feel trapped by schedules and plans, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to feel that way. But I found out looking back on 2 decades of homeschooling that the years that I planned more, we got more accomplished.
Yeah, and see, now I trained as an engineer, and all the big emphasis is on planning projects, getting your schedules all lined up. And having every detail worked out, you know what? I don't like it either.
Yeah.
I mean, I think maybe I've got more of a creative streak than the detail sometimes, but.
Well, I do too, but you know, some things have helped me though.
Mm-hmm.
When I realized that planning just helps me figure out what kind of pace I need to keep up so that I don't get swamped at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Because like this year, I mean, we got swamped. I reassessed where we were in April and said, oh, my word, we're nowhere near where we need to be, and our kids have been working their behinds off ever since.
Yeah. And, you know, I got to give some credibility here to one of our sons who looked at his textbooks, and he said to himself, I want to get completely caught up in everything before the calendar rolls around. And he sat down and planned out his own pace.
Mm-hmm.
And kept up with it, which really, you know, that's a lot of maturity in somebody his age.
Well, you know, as we talked about on a previous episode, I was really sick this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we missed a lot of school days that I would have wanted to get stuff done, and we didn't. And that's one of the advantages of planning and thinking things through, that even the kids that aren't really old enough to plan it themselves, if you have a plan, you can just kind of point to the plan and keep everybody going.
Yeah, and I think it's always good to remember. I mean, we certainly have had some experience with it. It's always good to remember that, you know, sometimes God intervenes. Sometimes
yeah.
God's curriculum is not what we would have planned. It's not our choice. And yet we look back later and say, you know, we learned so much going through that. And our kids grew so much going through it. So, you know, we plan, but always in recognition that God is the ultimate disposer.
Well, let's talk about, though, how to get those plans written down.
Right.
Because I think it seems overwhelming when you're starting out. You think, I don't know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
First, you do not need to plan each day's assignments and activities a year in advance.
No,
in fact, you shouldn't plan each day a year at the beginning of the year.
Well, you know, I have seen some of our curriculum, especially some of the elementary curriculum, and sometimes they go through and they say, you should allow this many minutes for this instructional bite and this many minutes for that. Do you just disregard that?
Yeah, because you
yeah.
can't. The homeschooling is so much more efficient than that.
Mm.
If I explain something the first way to a child and they clearly have it, they're answering it before you ask the questions, they understand it beyond even what the lesson is trying to teach, there's no need to keep harping on it.
Right. And that's something, you know, you may have to explain that to your kids sometime, because I know I heard one of ours ask a question, why does it take a whole hour in the classroom to cover this material, because I finished it in 20 minutes?
Because you're explaining it to 30 different kids who may need to hear it several different ways for each one of them to get it, but you're
yeah.
going to know how to teach your child. You're going to figure that out really fast, and you know what they already know, and it's just a lot easier. It's a lot more efficient. Now, if you have a child who's struggling over a concept, on the other hand, you can take all the time you need. You can explain it day after day. You can even say, you're not ready for this yet. close the book and come back to it later.
Well, you know, right there, that's a reason that you don't want to sit down at the start of the year and say, I'm going to spend a half hour on this here, on this date, and then I'm going to spend a half hour on that date, or what? Because, you know, you don't know who's going to have a cold, or is going to wake up with a headache, or who's going to suddenly stumble across something that, wow, we've got to go over this four different times for this child to catch it.
You really don't. And so, but what you do need to know is about how much you're going to need to accomplish each week to get through the curriculum in a reasonable time. Now, first of all, when I say get through the curriculum, don't be harder on yourself than is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we ever finished a book in school growing up, finished a textbook.
Right.
You know, that's, they don't expect you to. That's why they have all those weird topics at the end of the textbook. You know,
yeah.
They don't really build on anything, but they're just kind of for interest's sake.
Oh, so it's like if your class burns through the textbook and you've got 3 weeks left at the end of the term and you don't want to turn it into a study hall, then you've got some additional material to pad it.
Right, right.
Okay, and so.
But most homeschoolers are going to completely disregard that because homeschoolers tend to be type A personalities and they're going to feel like they've got to get every lesson done.
Well,
I understand. I'm the same way.
No, well, that's fine. But as you said, it's more efficient. And so just on the average, you would tend to get through the material more effectively than a classroom.
Well, but that doesn't mean you're going to get through the year more effectively because you're also more susceptible to crises happening that distract the teacher or fights among other children that distract the other student or whatever, you know.
A great opportunity to say, hey, let's take a weekend off and go do this.
And so life happens.
So life happens. So,
but, okay, let's talk
so
about
how do you
the details, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's use as an example, Saxon math is a really common math curriculum that people use. A lot of people use it. If I get out my Saxon 5-4 book, and I wanted to plan for the school year, I would, first of all, read the notes in the beginning of the book. You know, the part we all ignore.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ignore it because usually he'll tell you how to use the curriculum.
Yeah.
So read the teacher's notes in the beginning. And it will let you know that there are lessons, but there are also tests. And so I wanted to add to allow separate days for those tests.
I'm sure the students love you for that.
Right. And so we figure out how many lessons there are plus how many tests and figure out how much we're going to have to do every week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, in Saxon, it usually took about 5 days a week. In other subjects like handwriting, there might only be one lesson a week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about how long a school year is.
Okay.
The typical school year is 180 days.
And that's every state that we've lived. The standard school year, 180
but
days.
But that's not what it requires in our law, for example. Our law requires 9 months.
Nine calendar months,
excluding reasonable vacations.
Right.
So you may not be required to do 180 days exactly.
No.
But a typical school year is 180 days of 36 weeks.
Right.
Okay, so if you have a curriculum that uses 30 to 35 or 40 lessons, that's going to be about a lesson a week.
Okay.
If you have a curriculum that has like 60 to 70 lessons, that's going to be a couple of lessons a week. So
yeah.
Science. In the elementary school or history might be like that. You might do science or history twice a week or something.
Right. Now, Saxon math has shorter lessons, doesn't it?
Well, yes.
As an example.
So we would do that a lesson every day.
Right.
If we didn't have a test and a test on those days.
Yeah.
And so you're just going to need to look and see how much am I going to need to accomplish each week to stay on pace.
Okay.
Highly, highly, highly recommend that you combine your elementary school students in everything except math and language arts.
Yeah, and that's, you know what, when you start to play it out, it becomes obvious that elementary science in the second grade, elementary science in the third grade doesn't look very different.
No, they don't build on each other.
And
it doesn't matter whether you study your state history in fourth and eighth grade like they do in North Carolina, or third and seventh like they do in some other states, or second or fifth or whatever, as long as you study your state's history.
And, you know, you can do this. Sometimes you can do this with older, like you say, I think we all ought to learn Spanish this year. Nobody knows Spanish, and your kids are close enough together. Everybody begins introductory conversational Spanish at the same time.
Right.
And so you can fold all those together in this case.
So combine as much as you can. Especially be sure that you combine science and history and
art, music,
everything that you can, mm-hmm. especially in elementary school. In high school, it's a little bit harder, but still two high school students could do like a tree together, even if they're different ages.
Yeah, sometimes a year or two doesn't make a difference at all.
Well, it doesn't matter whether you do U.S. history in the 10th grade or the 12th grade. It really doesn't matter.
Right.
So, you know, combine as much as you can.
Uh-huh.
And that makes planning easy for those subjects because you just figure out what the whole family is going to do that week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so what I do is I made up a form.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let's put something in the show notes where they can download my form if they want to.
Oh, you've got to wait for that?
Well, I don't yet, but I'll put it in the show notes
by
the next day or two, okay?
Okay, sure.
I'll put my form in the notes, although you can use any form. The Old Schoolhouse Magazine has a fantastic one.
I know, Apologia has a
good one. You know, you can buy a planner or you can just print out pages. Like, I created this planner probably 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. I just remember when it was all printed out and kept on a clipboard.
Yeah, I still do that.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's another thing, too, because I know my experience as an engineering professional, sometimes it worked better for me to have a notebook and a pen, and sometimes I use software. But
and
you know,
planning software.
And it changed from year to year.
Well, you got to figure out what works for you. I tried planning software, and I got bogged down in trying to do everything perfectly.
Yeah.
And it didn't work for me the same way.
Right.
You know, it wanted me to plan each day way in advance. That just didn't work for me.
Yeah.
So anyway,
mm-hmm.
my form's really easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just basically you number the weeks. And I usually try to plan 8 out of 9 weeks. Like
leave
each
an
quarter
extra,
is 9 weeks.
And so you leave an extra week
an extra
that's not
week
planned.
That's not planned at all.
And so that's like your accordion week.
Yeah, that's like I
out
can
there.
Do catch up if we've had like say the children got the flu
mm-hmm.
and missed a lot of school. We can use that week to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody's caught up, we can do projects and like big messy projects that you couldn't normally do during this. What we want to do in school.
And that gives you 5 extra days that you can use for field trips to come up.
Yeah.
Or sick days or snow days
or whatever.
Whatever.
So anyway,
yeah.
I usually plan about 8 out of 9 weeks.
Okay.
I plan how much we're going to accomplish
mm-hmm.
each week in each subject. Now, I just number the weeks. I don't put dates on them because, again, sometimes the kids will get the flu
mm-hmm.
and that whole week is lost.
Yeah.
And so we can just start with, if they are sick during week three, we just start week three next week. And so week three being this week.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really matter when you finish either when you homeschool.
The flexibility is mind-boggling.
It's awesome.
Well, it's great. But sometimes we have to free our minds from the rigid calendar. And you know, the rigidity is built into the institutions because you've got to coordinate 30 families in one classroom.
Right.
But
right.
since you're just coordinating your class, your family, then your calendar can run whatever months and weeks work for you.
Well, we're doing school now, even though we're at the lake,
mm-hmm.
because we need to finish up before we start our new school year. And we had a lot of interruptions this year with my mm-hmm. illness and with we did 12 conferences
yeah, those
this year.
Good, profitable experience things.
But
right,
it means
still.
That we need to do some catching up, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I plan, like, week one, we need to get these five lessons done in math, these 5 lessons done in grammar, mm-hmm. 2 lessons in handwriting, whatever you need for each child, and the family as a whole, like we're going to study Famous Men of Rome, and we're going to read 2 stories out of it or something.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to plan it out real generally like that.
So you would have a separate form, a separate calendar for each student.
You can do it however, it doesn't matter. But you want to plan
right.
it generally
mm-hmm.
instead of day by day, okay?
Okay?
So that you kind of know what pace you need to keep up, and you can check and make sure you're on pace for finishing whenever you want to finish.
Okay.
Now, after we break from that, I want to talk about planning each individual day.
Because eventually you do come down to days.
You do.
You do. Hey, you know what? We need to put this in. This is the month of July, but coming up in August, we're talking August 2015. If you're listening sometime in the future, greetings, future listeners. But if you are listening...
We're talking for the future, Hal.
Yeah.
Woo!
Isn't that
okay,
cool?
That's really
okay.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah. So, all right. So August 18th, isn't that what I told you?
Yes.
I just sent that over to you. Let me see if it does come. Yes, yes, yes.
August 18th.
August the 18th, which is a Tuesday night in the Eastern time zone.
Okay.
And that starting at, we normally start this from 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
We'll say 8 o'clock and what the group tells us Eastern time. Yes, that's right.
Yes.
If that works out best for our Australian friends and our California friends and all of our friends on the East Coast.
Yes, Europe not so much.
Europe not so much.
Yeah. Why don't we tell them what we're talking about?
Yes.
We're doing a new session of Boot Camp 9 to 12.
Yes.
Which is one of the absolute most popular things we do. Hundreds of families have been through this. It's a live webinar series for parents of like 9 to 14 or 15 year olds. It says 9 to 12 because we want to catch people early.
Yeah.
But 9 to 13, 14, 15 year olds. And we're talking about the emotional roller coaster they go on, the spiritual doubts they have, how distracted they are, and how you cannot cope but handle this critical moment in parenting in a way that will make the teen years great.
Well, I'll tell you what, it caught me by surprise.
Oh, me too.
I didn't know what happened to our precocious student and why in the world was he suddenly a stubborn, argumentative, moody, and I'm thinking, he's only 9 years old.
And he looks like a little boy.
I know, you know, if you think, okay, he's in the middle of adolescence, as you might say, but
9 years
old, what is it?
And some of our kids start at 11 and some at 13. It's different for every child, but they all go through the stuff in early puberty. Check it out, August 18th.
This, you know, this is the 17th class that we've done.
Wow,
we have done this 17 times. You know that over 600 families have taken part in Boot Camp 9 to 12,
cool.
both online and in live seminar situations. By the way, we do this at churches, too.
Yeah, we do.
But our webinar coming up August 18th. You want information? Go to raisingrealmen.com/bootcamp.
And don't send us your kids. This is for you, not your kids.
This is Boot Camp for parents.
Well, the kids can come to the last two sessions, but don't send your kids.
That's right. This is for you.
We have enough kids of our own. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all right, let's talk about you know what you need to accomplish this week for each child.
Okay.
You got it all planned out, and that really helps because if you're sick and you feel really helps to be able to glance down and say, okay, this is what we need to do this week, guys. Go to it. All right.
Yep.
The week before the week that you want to plan, you plan what to do each. If you have high schoolers, they can do that themselves. You don't need to do that.
Oh, that's easy enough. You just say, this is the section we're going to do. Decide which. Because, you know, I know one of our students would probably like to sit down and do all of his math on Monday.
Yeah.
He likes to do things in chunks like that.
And I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. You know, you just say, I want you by the Friday. I want you to say I've done all of these things.
And so high schoolers can handle that on their own. The younger kids, you're going to need to do some planning. And what you want to do, this is so cool.
Yeah.
If you haven't thought about it, is you can plan to fit your family's schedule.
Okay.
So if you have a doctor's appointment and physical therapy on Tuesday, you don't want to plan the science experiments for Tuesday afternoon. You want to just do the basics on Tuesday. And maybe some stuff they can take and do in the doctor's office.
You know? And that might be a time to say, do two phonics lessons today, because you can do that in the waiting room.
Right.
And maybe we'll do the extra science project on Friday.
Right. On the other hand, if you are an Awana leader on Wednesday night, then you might not want to do a bunch of stuff on Wednesday. On Wednesday, you might want to make that your light day.
Mm-hmm.
But you can plan heavier days and lighter days based on what your family is doing.
Okay.
If Dad's off on Thursday, whole family can take Thursday off, and you can do school on Saturday instead.
Yeah.
You know, and so plan for your family the week before. And that's why you don't want to wait and plan days. You want to wait and plan days.
Closer to the time.
Closer to the time because
you know. Some of these things show up with just a few days' notice.
Well, and you find out when your club meetings are and when your sports practices are and doctor's appointments and dad off and all, you know, the grandmother's coming, all those things, and you can plan around it. And that's what's so awesome about homeschooling, all that stuff's in our hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember desperately trying to do schoolwork in the back of my family's van, riding over to one of our family's other locations of our business, and trying to find, trying to do it on the road. It was tough.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if we'd been homeschooling, my family could have arranged things so that we had easier days on the days we needed to do that.
That would have been a big help.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think nowadays there's more of a push, especially in the homeschooling movement, there's more of a push for the entrepreneurial lifestyle.
Yeah.
There's more, I think more people are going to be in a family situation like yourself,
mm-hmm.
growing up in a family business with the flexible hours and sometimes unpredictable demands. We certainly know about it. And wow, homeschooling is just made for that. But let me ask you this. Now, you're talking about, okay, plan your weeks first. Just plan the chunks that you go for each week.
How much you need to accomplish each week. You want to
That's
plan
right.
that at the beginning of the year.
And then when you get close, within about a week or two of the actual date, then plan out day by day what you plan to cover.
Right.
And that way you know doctor's appointments, you know meetings,
right.
you know, all the rest of that kind of. But let me ask you this. What about, do you plan time of day?
Okay, that's real controversial.
Okay, tell me about it.
When I first heard about scheduling, I freaked out. I
mm-hmm.
said, I can't do this. I don't like that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody said, you know, a schedule is a budget for your time to make sure you spend your time the way you want to spend it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that changed everything because I really like the idea of budgeting financially, so I spend my money where I want to spend it.
Okay.
So I started thinking about that, and I'm still not comfortable with, I just don't think you can say from 9 to 9:30 we're going to do this because talking to your child about math might take 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It might take 45 minutes, depending on the concept that day.
Yeah.
So for me, what I did is we have an order that we do things in.
You have a sequence.
I have a sequence.
Not a schedule so much as a yeah.
Right,
a,
and that's even gotten a lot looser as we've gotten some of the older children. Because now that we have some of the older children, most of the kids are managing their own schedule and they're coming to me for help. You know, I never thought we'd get to this point.
Wow, and what a great thing that is, because you know what? Those that have gone off to college, and so far all three of our graduates have gone to college, they all come back and say, wow, I'm so glad that I learned how to manage my own work when I was at home, because, you know, they said, now I can do this at college, and it's not a big deal, and I see my friends struggling, I see friends failing, because they don't know how to manage themselves.
I think probably the most important thing about scheduling each day is making sure that everybody has chores, and they know what's expected. In fact, now that we're at the lake, how we need a new chore list for the lake because this is not working.
Well, we do.
The dishes did not get done today.
I did some dishes.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
You're a wonderful husband.
Well, okay. But your point's well taken. Now, you know, and that's not to say if you are the kind of person that's that detailed, that plans everything, and you've got that predictable schedule, don't feel burdened one way or the other.
No,
but
the
one thing I would say for that person, though, is just be aware that sometimes God sends you teachable moments. Sometimes you've got a child who has a spiritual question, and it's really good to be able to just grab that and not be thinking in the back of my mind, this is going to put us behind for the rest of the day.
Oh, please don't do that. I have done that so many times. That is so foolish.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reason you're home is to disciple them. And when they have the teachable moment, when they're having the fight,
mm-hmm.
and you need to intervene and you need to teach, when you need to say, hey, hang on, we need to talk about this, folks.
Mm-hmm.
We're not supposed to be treating each other this way. You know, when those moments are why you're homeschooling.
And you can't schedule them.
You can't schedule them.
There's very limited things you can do about scheduling a real-life application.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, though, I think we do need to bring this in. We've seen the consequence of maybe of being too informal, haven't we?
Well, yeah, because, you know, if you don't have a plan,
mm-hmm.
then it's really easy to get distracted and not to accomplish what you need to accomplish.
You drift.
You drift, and it's really easy to get to the end of the year and say, uh-oh, we're nowhere near where we need to be. If you've done that, don't panic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can catch up. You can do this.
Yes.
It's amazing how you can catch up when you have to. But the plan will help keep you on task. It'll help you. It's a check for yourself. Are we where we need to be at this point in the year? You can
mm-hmm.
check up on it. I want to talk a minute more about the data.
Okay.
Really important for everybody to have chores.
Mm-hmm.
In our house, we do chores before breakfast, and we do breakfast, and we do devotions. Devotions are critical because you need that time to focus your heart on the Word of God, because homeschooling is spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're there to disciple, your enemy's going to try to keep you distracted so you don't notice when you need to be discipling.
Mm-hmm.
So get everybody's heart focused on God first thing. And then get your big kids, give them a list. Or they should develop their own list when they're upper high school students.
So the ones that you can launch and leave?
Launch and leave,
you
yeah.
do that, yes.
Yeah, and you know, and you can put little notes on lists. Read this chapter and then come talk to me about it.
Yeah. Work to this point and then stop and come ask the question.
Yeah. Your little kids are going to have to be right there.
Yeah.
And I have to plan for them what we're going to do each day. And some days there's pushback. We had some pushback today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes they just don't want to do it. And then we learn some character issues.
There's some character training then, yes.
But, you know, it's, all right. I used to get really, really uptight about that stuff, Al.
Mm-hmm.
Because some days it seemed like we'd spend all day long on character stuff.
And you think, we didn't do a thing all day.
Oh, you'd come home from work and I'd say, mm-hmm. You'd say, what'd you do today? Nothing. We got nothing done. We had no schoolwork done. We're dumber than we were when we woke up.
Mm-hmm.
Our house is messier. We're dumber. It's been a horrible day. And now I realize I was so wrong, because those days when nothing so-called happened because I was busy discipling and correcting and teaching and drawing them back in and teaching and counseling and breaking it up and all those things were really enormously valuable days in our school.
You know, those are the days when the discipleship happened.
Yeah.
Those are the days when you really built character.
Yeah, they were. Those are the days we really built character, and those are the days that make the rest of the days possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so don't get all freaked out like I did if you can't accomplish what you need to that day. You know what? You catch up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may be that you can shorten two lessons, like maybe have them do odd problems on two lessons so that they can do two lessons in one day.
Mm-hmm.
If they were especially horrible, they might have to make up a lesson on Saturday or something.
Yeah.
But don't do that unless they were really horrible, because your kids need a break too, just like you do.
They do.
And it might be you have to run a little bit late in the school year. Usually around middle school, some of our kids drag their feet through school and end up having to do a lot of school in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't usually do that more than once or twice before they figure out, hey, you know, this is my time I just threw away.
Yeah. Well, that's in that time budget thing. You think, okay, I've got so many hours today, and if I do my schoolwork in the school time, then the hours outside of school can be used for more interesting and entertaining things. And that's why it's one of the reasons it's important that we give them those hours.
Yeah.
But, you know, when they fritter that time and say, okay, I had an hour for school and I spent 30 minutes of it staring out of the window,
yeah.
Then that means later I don't have 30 minutes to play ball
right.
with my friends or to build a model or to climb a tree or whatever. So
now, do recognize if your boys are wiggling, then the answer is not make them sit still longer.
No, that doesn't work.
That doesn't work.
It doesn't work. In fact, that's the tragedy of canceling recess in the school system. You know what?
Yes.
Because those boys, especially, when they get fidgety, you need to run them. You need to get them up and exercising, run the stairs, go to the mailbox, run laps or whatever.
Push-ups. And some of you have girls like that. One of our girls is that way, Hal. One of our girls is a fireball.
One of the most brilliant things you've done in recent years was you bought a little exercise trampoline for her.
Baby, I was desperate.
You got one of those little 3-foot diameter trampolines and put it right there where you're doing school, and she'll do part of a lesson and go bounce 100 times. Boing, 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 boing. And then she's ready to do another one.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's weird, but it works.
I was wishing we brought it with us to life.
Well, okay.
Anyway.
But
okay.
Be that as it may.
And I left it home with the big kids who are at home. Yeah.
But be that as it may, yeah, that's an important thing.
Yeah, our big adult kids are happening for us.
That's right. So do some exercises during the middle of the day. That's okay. That's part of your instructional plan.
Yeah, in fact, you know what? It's way better to get them out and exercising than to say, we have only 3 more subjects to do before lunchtime. Let's sit down and concentrate. It's not going to happen.
You can take 10 minutes to do some exercise and get them back focused again.
Yeah.
Or you can take the next half hour to do the 10 minutes worth of work that you gave up.
Isn't that the truth?
Okay, think about that.
Okay, so folks, plan. It will make things easier in the end. Don't freak out about it, though. It's not mm-hmm. that big a deal. Check the show notes.
Yes.
At halmelanie.com/radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I will put some links to my forums there so that you can check them out if you want something easy and free. If you want something beautiful, mm-hmm. check out our friends at the Old Schoolhouse Magazine or at Apologia and get one of their beautiful planners.
Because they do have some nice ones out there.
Okay.
All right. Well, very good. Well, look, we hope you've enjoyed this episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And until we talk to you again next week, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
And we do appreciate, we know there's many things you could do with your time, but we thank you for spending some with us.
See you next week. Bye, y'all.
Bye now.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HALANDMELANIE.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalAndMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.